Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
That's Simon and Garfunkel singing the 59th Street Bridge song. The Queensboro or 59th Street Bridge and the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel are getting new names. If City Council approves, they're being named after former Mayor Ed Koch, the bridge, and former Governor Hugh Carey, the tunnel. That's probably the kind of news that made the new edition of the Encyclopedia of New York City necessary. The second edition is just out. And on Thursdays this month, we're talking to the editors. Today, we'll ask about bridges, tunnels, and how to possibly edit all of New York into one book, even a 9-pound one like this. So joining me now are Ken Jackson, the editor of the Encyclopedia and a professor in history and the social sciences at Columbia University, and Lisa Keller, an associate professor of history at SUNY Purchase and the executive editor of the Encyclopedia. Good morning and welcome back, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can the Ed Koch Bridge possibly be as groovy as the 59th Street Bridge?
Well, I think Ed Koch certainly deserves to have a major public facility named after him. He was certainly a very significant mayor of New York. Somehow you feel that these decisions are made in the dark of night somewhere, and there are a lot of people who deserve to be memorialized and we're not able to discuss it. My main point of complaint now is the Robert F. Kennedy Bridge. The Triborough Bridge at least said what it was, and now if you hear this traffic on the RFK Bridge, you don't know what they're talking about. But he spent a very little bit of time in New York, and it was mostly unsuccessful. You know, the Brooklyn Navy Yard closed, and John Stennis of Mississippi stole it, and so I wouldn't extol him very much for his New York role.
Is there a Robert Kennedy entry in the Encyclopedia of New York City?
Yes, there is, because he was very important also for the city. But we did have to change the entry on the Triborough because people got confused, and we got that in. And now I'm worrying about a reprint of what we're going to do about the Queensboro Bridge.
Do Simon and Garfunkel make it into the Encyclopedia of New York City?
No, they didn't.
Really? Given that all the boroughs except the Bronx are on islands, bridges and tunnels get plenty of space in the Encyclopedia, right?
Well, of course, one of the most important things about New York relative to other rural cities is the water. I mean, in Berlin or Paris or Rome or London, there's small bodies of water and small bridges crossing the waterways. In New York, I mean, the waters define the whole city. It's why the city's here. And our bridges, think the Brooklyn Bridge, think George Washington Bridge, think Verrazano Narrows Bridge, were successively the largest bridges in the world. So there's nothing cute about our waterways. But there are more than 2,027 bridges in New York.
That's the number. And I was really startled when I read that this morning. 2,027 bridges in the city. And people are going to think, what? But only 76 of those are actually over water. It looks like the High Bridge over the Harlem River is the oldest. Do you have a favorite?
And the High Bridge, I think, well, in some ways is a favorite because it brought New York's water system in for the first time. And the water system is one of the great glories of New York and underappreciated glories of New York. Brooklyn Bridge, of course, is my favorite, as I suppose it is out of many people.
So to get to 2,027 bridges, like any little bridge over the Cross Island Parkway connecting the two service roads would be counted as a bridge and all of that stuff?
Well, there are a couple. One of my favorites is over the Gowanus Canal, and there was in one of the little houses, there was a guy who was called the Chicken Man in one of them. But, you know, there are a lot of idiosyncrasies in New York City that sort of change it from this world city to a place where there are little quirky people everywhere.
Listeners, maybe tomorrow we'll do a call-in on whether Ed Koch should get his name on the 59th Street Bridge and Hugh Carey should get his name on the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. But for now, because we are graced with the presence of the editors of the Encyclopedia of New York City, let's just take some phone calls on maybe a favorite little celebrated bridge or tunnel in the city that you would like to mention or maybe learn more about, or for that matter, possibly name after some other great New Yorker, maybe Paul Simon. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call or post to our comments page at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And it's funny, Lisa, it doesn't look like too many Bridges are, in fact, named for people. There is the George Washington Bridge, the Henry Hudson, the Kosciuszko, and the Pulaski, and more named for places that are named after people, like the Roosevelt Island Bridge. You mentioned the name change of the Triborough, which also made me sad. It's such a distinctively named bridge, not only that you know what it means, but it's just so distinctive. They could have found some other public facility for the great Robert Kennedy. But you go up and down the East River and you see Manhattan Bridge, Williamsburg Bridge, Brooklyn Bridge, Queensboro Bridge. I mean, it's pretty pedestrian in a way.
Well, but it does tell you what they do, yeah. You know, where they go.
The road naming system in the United States made a lot of sense. It told you where the road was going to. The Bedford Road went to Bedford, the Williamsburg Bridge to Williamsburg. I think people are going to get very confused and, well, we're going to need to put out a revised or third edition with all these name changes.
And the Throgsneck Bridge, Throgsneck section of the Bronx, the Bronx Whitestone Bridge, can't get any more straightforward than that. Of course, never mind naming them after Ed Koch and Robert Kennedy. Soon they're going to be the Bank America Bridge and the Costco Bridge and things like that.
Well, even though I have some criticisms of Yankee Stadium and its current incarnation, one of the great things about Yankee Stadium is it's not yet the PepsiCo Yankee Stadium or FedEx Yankee Stadium. It's just plain Yankee Stadium.
Brewer and Carroll Gardens, you got a bridge?
Hi, yeah. I really like this Carroll Street Bridge over the Gowanus Canal, and I was wondering if there's anything historically interesting to say about it.
Familiar with that one?
Well, I certainly know Carroll Gardens and know that area in the Gowanus Canal. I don't know that particular bridge or whether there's anything we can say about it, but I do think the Gowanus Canal is a very little understood waterway in New York. I think that whole area, which used to have so many industries and factories and warehouses along it, and then going out toward Red Hook, Atlantic Basin, those areas which were so important in New York's, especially 19th and early 20th century histories, that are now slowly transforming as the city itself changes from kind of an industrial city to a more service economy. And you see it, not as quickly as you would in a meatpacking district, but there in the Gowanus Canal, you're seeing change, and certainly in Carroll Gardens and gentrification. Red Hook is a big area of change.
Paul in Jersey City has a favorite bridge he wants to sell us. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I wanted to mention, too, I just have a real fondness for arch bridges. They're gorgeous. And I wanted to mention the Hell Gate Bridge and also the Bayonne Bridge, both the wonders on our skylines.
Indeed. Both are considered architectural gems. Most New Yorkers never see the Bayonne Bridge because you have to be on Staten Island or New Jersey to see it. But the Hell Gate Bridge, they are near Astoria. As you're crossing the Triborough Bridge, now the RFK Bridge, and look to the left. It depends on which way you're going, of course.
A question.
But there's the Hellgate Bridge, which is a railroad bridge.
A question about a bridge from Steve on the Upper East Side. You're on WNYC. Steve, hi.
Hi. I love the McCombs Dam Bridge. I mean, it's the weirdest name. It evokes a long-gone, almost like a colonial history of New York. There must have been a dam there, otherwise they wouldn't have called it that. And best of all, it used to join the Polo Grounds with Yankee Stadium.
Well, indeed. And, of course, the bridge is still there, at least at the same spot. And I keep saying, well, right at that spot is where the greatest catch in baseball history.
Exactly.
You know, and it'd never be duplicated because of the weird shape of the Polo Grounds. And you could argue that of the 10 greatest sports moments in American history, all of them happened in New York City. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but not much.
You're a New York chauvinist. Steve, thank you for your call. That greatest catch, I guess, was the 1954 World Series Willie Mays catch. Of course, he says he had it all the way. It looked better than it was.
Well, it wasn't just the fact that he was perhaps one of the greatest outfielders in history, but he knew the dimensions. You know, if you hit one to straightaway center field in the Polo Grounds, it was like 480 feet. You had to kill the ball, and he knew that, and he knew that he could run as hard as he could and put his glove out. He wouldn't kill himself hitting a wall. If any baseball player tried that today, he would be killed when he hit the wall.
Ken Jackson and Lisa Keller, the editors of the brand new edition of the Encyclopedia of New York City. By the way, listeners, next week we will have a New York City quiz with Ken and Lisa with questions culled from the Encyclopedia. And we're going to try something new right now to kick it off. Listeners, if you would like a preview of the quiz, we will send you the first question, if you text the word quiz, Q-U-I-Z, to 30644. There's no charge for this except whatever you pay your service provider to send and receive a text message. If you want to get a tip off, and next week when we're on the air, we'll do our usual, you know, giveaway of prizes to anybody who gets three in a row right when we do one of these news or history quizzes. But for now, if you want to get the first question of the quiz text to you, just text the word quiz, Q-U-I-Z, to 30644. And then we'll do this whole 10-question or more Encyclopedia of New York City quiz on the air at this time next Thursday. Okay, one more bridge call, and then I want to talk about something else. John in Paramus, you're on WNYC.
Yes, if you name a bridge after Paul Simon, it would have to be a bridge over troubled waters.
Ouch. Which, of course,
so maybe the Hellgate Bridge would be good. That sounds like troubled water.
That's right, because of the way the currents swirl under the Hellgate Bridge.
Thank you, John. That could be just about over any waterway in the New York City area. And and the history of the bridges is really so telling about the history of New York City. I mean, we've been, you know, dwelling on the names and maybe some of the structural aspects, but it's really the history of growth in New York City and the history of technology rolled into one, right?
The incredible increase in vehicular traffic at the end of the 19th century took everybody by surprise, and there was a flurry of building of all kinds of roads and bridges across the city. Your listeners are citing these beautiful historic bridges, and people don't realize we talk about traffic jams today, but they had very bad traffic jams around 1900, and that's kind of why all these roads and bridges had to be constructed.
So you opened the encyclopedia, Lisa, with an explanation of why paper and not digital. It would obviously be easier to update a digital encyclopedia, right?
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. Ken Jackson, who is the genius behind this whole effort, is a scholar who has based his learning on many, many volumes. And Ken felt that a print book was really the most important thing that we could possibly do. And I think I'll let Ken give his explanation for that.
Well, I think there are several reasons. I mean, the Internet has killed print reference, you know, almost across the board. And so you say, why are we going against the tide here? Well, one thing is that you open the book and it's what you're not looking for that you find. Every page of this book, there are six entries, and your eyes glance across and all of a sudden something catches your eye that you weren't looking for. So it's that serendipity that's interesting. Secondly, we have experts writing it who really knew what they were talking about. That's not always the case in others. Thirdly, it's written about New York City's connection. You know, we have John F. Kennedy, but it's his role in New York City. We have Abraham Lincoln. It's the few days he spent here. It's Marilyn Monroe. It's not about her love affairs or stuff like this. It's about where she lived when her two husbands, Joe DiMaggio and Arthur Miller, lived in New York. But the most important thing, I think, Brian, is people love New York City. There's almost a love affair going with the city. And so while you may not need an encyclopedia of some other place, there's something about New York City. Even if you live in Des Moines now or you live somewhere else, you went to school here, you spent your first few years, you know where the A train goes, you feel like that's a little bit, you're a little tougher. You can handle whatever Seattle can throw at you because you once lived in Brooklyn. And you want this book to sort of look at and remind yourself of New York City.
Why not an online edition also, where you could be more expansive? You know, all these little controversies are breaking out about things that you didn't include, things that were in the first draft and wound up on the editing floor, whatever. But without turning it over to the public, without making it Wikipedia, you could still have control of it, have your experts, but have, you know, expanded longer entries.
We are currently exploring this with Yale University Press. We have several possibilities on the table. The e-book is in the works as we speak. And then we're exploring this possibility of having exactly what you describe. The difficulty of that is the updating is enormous. As much work that has been put into this volume, you can never be absolutely 100% perfect with everything, and we would like to keep updating it. So hopefully if we can work out the finances to get this done, because it would be expensive to have it a live online product, we will try to do something like that.
By the way, I see that the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, perhaps soon to be the Hugh Carey Tunnel, would have been a bridge if Robert Moses had had his way.
Well, Robert Moses, as your listeners no doubt remember, liked to build things that you could see. And it was a special effort, really, by the President of the United States and others who blocked the Brooklyn Battery Bridge, arguing that it would be hazardous for military operations. And so that's why we have a tunnel.
That's why we have a tunnel. Was it easier to raise money and the political will for major projects in the past? We see what could have been the latest tunnel addition to the book, the Ark Tunnel to and from New Jersey, got canceled, and perhaps for good reason by Governor Christie. That's a big source of controversy one way or the other. But were bridges and tunnels, easier to get the public will for, or were they more private enterprises in the past and not even public works?
No, let me say that. I think that's a very important issue, and it seems to me the broad answer here is that a century and more ago, we could afford to build our own bridges, i.e. the Brooklyn Bridge. Now we can barely afford to paint the bridges, that already exist. Federal government stole the goose that laid the golden age when it got the income tax in 1913. So essentially, urban city revenues have not increased as state and federal revenues have. But the other thing about bridges, I think we should say, more than just the individual bridges.
10 seconds. Well, go ahead.
It affects the way New York. We have wealthy people in the middle of Manhattan, which is not the case in other cities. And it may be because of the limited numbers of ways to get on and off the island.
Huh. All right. That's fascinating. And we will have to leave it there for now. Again, next week, we will have a New York City quiz with Ken Jackson and Lisa Keller, editors of the brand new edition of the Encyclopedia of New York City. Questions culled from the information in the encyclopedia. And again, if you would like a preview of the quiz, we'll send you the first question if you just text the word quiz to 30644, 30644. And you have an event tonight somewhere, is that
right? Yes, we have a wonderful event tonight, 6:30 at the Museum of the City of New York. Ken Jackson will be talking about the book, and there will be a book selling and reception and signing.
And information at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Brian.
Thank you.